Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The hour of worship is particularly important to the Christian because this is his worship of God. But it can also be of great importance to those who are not Christians, because during these worship periods the Word of God is taught. Alongside our singing and praying and giving, the partaking of the Lord's Supper, truth is presented that relates not only to the Christian and how he must live, but also information from the Bible regarding the condition of those who are out of Christ and what they must do to be saved from sin. Usually there are several present in any worship assembly who have not yet responded to the Lord's invitation, who have not yet obeyed the gospel. And there are young people who need to be taught the way of the Lord. Many have friends and relatives who need to be taught how to become Christians. This lesson can be of special concern to those who are not Christians, but also to Christians who want to reach the hearts of the lost. Now, this is primarily addressed to those who are not yet in spiritual fellowship with Christ. It is not an attempt to simply condemn one in his present state, because God has already warned of that state. But the lesson is presented in the hope that those who have not yet come to Christ will hasten to do so before opportunity for salvation escapes them. To those of you who are out of Christ, you must first realize you need to be saved. Now, many prefer not to think this is the case. But Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 10, "There is none righteous, no, not one." In Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Isaiah 59:1-2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Dear listening friend, sin makes one unclean and impure and spiritually defiled and unfit for heaven. "No uncleanness shall enter heaven," Revelation 21, verse 27. "Only those whose names are in the book of life shall enter therein." Probably there are few people, if any, who would profess to be perfect and without sin. Those who would so claim make a grave error and only compound their sinning by making such a claim. But many feel they are not what they might call bad sinners, and that sin does not really have an effect on them. We all must realize that none of us can be righteous enough to earn or merit God's gift of salvation. And that's what salvation is. It's a gift from God, Ephesians 2:8-9. We all stand in need of someone to save us from sin. Christians have already recognized that need, and they surrender to that one who can save. It is those who are out of Christ who need to be saved, and that means they must accept the reality of their sinful state. If one believes what the Bible teaches, he will not quibble over this important point, but he'll readily acknowledge, as others have, "I have sinned." In sin there is no salvation. Only in Christ is there salvation, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. And thankfully God has provided for salvation. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 teaches, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Friend, man cannot save himself by himself, and God knows that. He gave the way of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. And why did he do this? It was because of his love for mankind, even though mankind was a sinner. Jesus said, John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, to lay down his life for his friend." And yet Jesus went a step beyond even laying down his life for those who were his friends. He laid down his life for those who were still alienated from God, who were yet sinners. And Christ is the only way God has or will provide for our salvation, Acts 4 and verse 12. And this was the mission of Christ. He came to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. And we all have sinned, but the gift of salvation is by Christ, Romans 5, verse 12 and verse 15. That God has provided for sinful man at all is marvel above marvels. Man could never be worthy of what God has done for him. We can only be grateful and humbly submissive that God has paved the way because he loved us as precious immortal souls. Realizing the need of salvation and knowing that Christ is the way of salvation does not mean everyone will be saved. For one to be saved, he must come to Christ. He must accept Christ. We hear people being urged to accept Christ. Over and over we hear that. But few seem to understand what really this involves. We do not read of people being told to simply receive Christ as a personal Savior, or raise your hand if you want to be saved, or sign a card, or send us your name by mail, usually with a contribution. If you want us to pray for your salvation, do this. Pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Faith only, just pray the sinner's prayer, and all other such admonitions that the world hears from a multitude of false teachers. These many ways to accept Christ are human doctrines, and they can avail nothing to the spiritual benefit of any soul. One cannot believe everything that he hears. He must turn to the Word. And one major point that many people ignore is the absolute necessity of obedience to the will of the Lord in order to be forgiven. Hebrews 5 and verse 9 teaches that he, that is Christ, became the author of salvation to them that obey him. We show our love by our obedience, John 14, 15. We show our friendship by our obedience, John 15, 14. Unless we obey what he has commanded, by what right do we claim to possess the forgiveness of sins? People on Pentecost asked what they had to do to be saved, and they were told what to do. And Peter emphasized, save yourselves, Acts 2 and verse 40, meaning that there was their part in God's plan for their salvation. God had done his part in providing Christ, his perfect life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. Man has something to do also, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. We must search the Scriptures to learn what it is we're commanded to do, and when to do it, and to know that when we obey, we can know that we are saved because God is true to his Word. But until we obey, we can be just as sure that we remain lost. Now, the New Testament teaches that we must hear the gospel. This is why the gospel must be preached. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. We are saved by the word, James 1:21. And nobody can be saved without hearing the truth, Romans 10 and verse 14. Those that come to God are drawn to God, John 6:44. And the very next verse, verse 45, teaches how we are drawn to God. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Those that come must hear. They must be taught. They must learn. Friend, there is no salvation apart from the Word of God. It's the truth that makes us free, John 8:32, and God's Word is the truth, John 17:17. We would not even know that we were lost, or that we cannot save ourselves, or that God has provided a Savior, except the Word has informed us. And next, we must believe the Word that we hear. John explained why he wrote the book of John. John 20:30 and 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. Friend, we cannot please God without faith, Hebrews 11:6. Jesus said, recorded in John 8:24, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Our faith is in Christ as the Son of God. Repeatedly, the scriptures teach salvation by faith. Nobody that believes the message of truth denies that salvation is by faith. It is so unfortunate that some have added the word only or faith alone to the passages where God has not added them and have taught salvation by faith alone or faith only. Never does Scripture teach this. I defy any person on the face of the earth to show the passage where it does. Nobody that teaches the truth teaches salvation by faith alone. Those that teach it are false teachers. We must also repent of our sins. This means to turn. Turn from sin to Christ. It involves a change of heart, a change of mind. You must resolve to change your course. Failure to make such a resolution, which is prompted by God's love for us and by our godly sorrow for sins, is to lock us into a lost state. Repentance is commanded of everyone, Acts 17:30. It was the very first command Peter gave to believers on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and verse 38. All must come to repentance, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Search these passages. Learn the message of them. The necessity of repentance is taught in Luke 13:3. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Friend, without repentance, salvation is impossible. But we also must confess our faith in Christ. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:10. As Peter confessed, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Matthew 16:16, we must also make a similar confession. The Ethiopian made this confession before he finished his obedience, in Acts 8 and verse 37. Now, we're never taught to confess that we're already saved, as some denominationalists teach. We're not taught to declare some experience. Men invent emotional responses and lead people into them, but these do not render obedience to God. We simply confess the truth regarding Christ, who is the foundation upon which the church is built, the deity of Christ as the Son of God. And dear listener, before one is counted as a member of God's family, the Lord's church, one of the saved, he must be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38 and Galatians 3 and verse 27. Romans 6:3 and 4 tells us that we're baptized into his death. Was this not where his blood was shed? John 19:34. Here is where the sinner comes in contact spiritually with the blood of Jesus Christ by which we are justified. Romans 5 and verse 9. Baptism is in order to the remission of sins. It is the way sins are washed away, Acts 22:16. Nobody who teaches truth teaches that the power of salvation is in the water itself. But nobody who teaches the truth will dismiss baptism being involved in our salvation. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the inspired apostle Peter said, Baptism doth now also save us. How dare some denominational clergyman say it has nothing to do with it? Who are we going to listen to, those clergymen or the inspired apostle? Friend, it's not a question whether we're saved by faith or by blood or by his grace. When are we saved by faith? When are we saved by his blood? When are we saved by the grace of God? It is when we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine the Romans had already obeyed, Romans 6:16 through 18. Being buried in baptism, they were raised to walk in a newness of life. And they, like the Corinthians, became new creatures in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. They were born again, John 3:3 and 5. Why religious teachers strained themselves all out of joint to avoid doing what the Bible so plainly commands is beyond comprehension, except they prefer to be saved their way rather than the simple way that God has provided. And having been baptized, is there anything more to enter heaven? Indeed there is. Being baptized means you've been added to the church, Acts 2:47. Which is the company of the saved. It means you are in Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Your past sins are forgiven. You are now a child of God. But God expects his children to live as his children in faithfulness, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Loyal, faithful, worshiping service is involved in living the life as a Christ-like fashion. And having been born into his family, nothing more needs to be done to be born. But a life is to be lived in order to remain one of God's heirs, Romans 8 and verse 17. Laborers in his vineyard, servants of the master, soldiers of the cross, whatever way you wish to define the way of a Christian, this is a lifetime profession, and it is necessary to go to heaven. You never outgrow your deed of fellowship and fellowship with Christ, and you retain that by walking in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7. Yes, those outside of Christ must consider these matters, and if they will seriously consider the alternative, eternal condemnation and separation from God in hell, they will be additionally motivated to do their part as God has prescribed it. God wants us all to be saved, but only those who will do his will have the promise of salvation. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.